They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
This time of year, we celebrate the birth, or we're preparing at least to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible foretold Him in the Old Testament, and Jesus, even to His disciples, actually preached the gospel to them from the Old Testament, from the Psalms and the prophets, from the law of God. And today we're actually going to look at why Jesus had to come to this earth. We're going to look first at a prophecy of Jesus coming. And this is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. And we need to just think, well, why did this child come? Why was there this baby born in a manger? Why did God send his son to the earth to live? Did he send him so that we could sing Christmas carols, so that we could have manger scenes, so that we could reenact the birth of Christ? Certainly, I believe it's important to remember what Jesus did and to reenact the birth of Christ, to have manger scenes. We have one in front of our house. I think it's important to, at this time where so many people are really thinking about Christmas, to remind people that Jesus is the reason for the season. But today we're actually going to look at why he actually came. We're going to start to look at why he came. And we're going to do that by going back to the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. He created the stars, he created the sun, the moon, he created the firmament, he created the seas, he created the animals, and he created Adam, and then created Eve. And he placed them in the garden. They were charged with keeping the garden, and he told them to not eat of one particular tree. And in Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So here we see really the devil coming in the form of a serpent to tempt Eve and really question what God had said and put doubt in her mind that what God had said actually would happen. And saying that, hey, listen, God knows when you When you eat of that fruit, your eyes will be open. You're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil. By the way, they knew good before. They didn't know evil. They only knew good. And really the temptation here is that they could actually define what was good. They could define what was evil. They alone could determine, not God, what they wanted to do. And this really is what we see in a lot of temptation, and we need to actually come to a place where we realize that God is sovereign. God is the one that determines right and wrong, and we need to actually listen to what he has told us, follow his word, and obey his commandments. But none of us do obey his commandments perfectly, and Adam and Eve did not obey God here either. In verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And so you see that Eve looked at the tree. She looked at the fruit. She said it's pleasant to the eyes. It's desirable. It would make her wise. And she took of the fruit. She ate it. She gave it to her husband, Adam. And Adam was the one that God had actually given the commandment to. And Adam was the one that knew that what God had actually said. And so Adam had a choice to make here. Is he going to honor God, or is he going to listen to his wife and go along with her in this sin? And Adam actually did go along with his wife in that sin. They then both realized their sin. They realized that they were naked, and they sewed up fig leaves to cover themselves. Imagine being able to be without clothing and yet not to actually realize that you're naked and you shouldn't be without clothing in front of other people. Of course, Adam and Eve were married, and they could be without clothing among themselves, but they also knew that God was going to come, and they were ashamed of what they had done, and they were ashamed because they were naked. So in verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So they hear God, they know that they have sinned, and they try to actually make it so that God can't find them. They're playing hide and seek with God. Obviously, God is all-knowing. God knew exactly where they were. In fact, God knew that they had sinned also. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And so you see here really the start, and really the very first time that humans played the blame game. Adam didn't take responsibility for his own sin. He pointed at his wife and said, "She did it." Eve didn't take responsibility for her sin. She pointed to the serpent and said, "He made me do it." And you see, really, you see this has played out a lot of times. And it's something that I've done, and my wife has done, and probably you have done as well, instead of taking responsibility for your actions, actually blaming someone else, maybe your spouse. So you see here that really this was the beginning of sin. And so in verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And in this, there's actually not only a curse for the serpent itself and for all snakes, but there's also a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ, and that actually there would be enmity between the serpent or the devil and also between Jesus Christ, and who was the seed of the woman who would be born of the Virgin Mary. And so you see here that he would bruise the devil's head, and the devil would bruise his heel. Verse 16, and to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception in pain. You shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So here you see the curse, and for the woman, there was a curse for childbearing and also conception, that it would actually be more difficult in some cases to conceive, and then you actually see that she would bring forth children in pain. Can you imagine if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned? It would be possible for women to have babies without experiencing pain. God also says that her desire would be for her husband, and that he would rule over her. So God here is changing some of the dynamics of the family. And really, one of the things that you see is that there is a really insatiable desire that a lot of women have for their husband. And really, husbands are not really fully capable of fulfilling that, even though we're called to try. But you see here a change, and you see also the ground being cursed and Adam having to bring forth food with toil and sweat. Can you imagine being able to have everything you need without working so hard that you work up a sweat? Can you imagine having the necessary food that you need without having to actually toil and fight with weeds and thorns and briars and thistles? And so you see here, every struggle that we have to earn money, to pay the bills, to make ends meet, this all goes back to this original sin. For this is where we actually started to see the curse come about. In verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now the tunics of skin, to do that, he had to shed blood. We know the Bible actually says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And in the Old Testament sacrificial system, which would be established quite a ways in the future from this time, there would actually be this shedding of bulls and goats and sheep. That would be a temporary covering until Jesus Christ would come and die on the cross. So God actually made, he actually shed the blood of an animal. This was, by the way, the first time there had ever been death. Adam and Eve didn't physically die, but they did die spiritually. And it was necessary at this point for Jesus Christ to come to the earth, to die on the cross, so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. And everyone in the Old Testament that had lived for God, their sins also had to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. So here in verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So because Adam and Eve had sinned, death needed to enter into the world, including their own death. They couldn't live forever because they were sinners, and they were in need of a Savior, and that Savior would come a few thousand years later and born in Bethlehem. And we also see in Romans, we're going to turn and we're going to actually read over the next few weeks, and we probably will even continue this into the period where we lead up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We'll have a little break, but we'll continue this during that time. But we're actually looking at really what God has laid out in the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, by the way, Romans has what is commonly called the Roman Road. And it actually is a path or a road map to lead you actually to salvation, to realize that you have sinned, that you have violated God's commandments, that you can't save yourself. You can't do anything to earn your salvation, but you need salvation through Jesus Christ, and that salvation has been applied by the blood of Jesus. He has actually given us this salvation. So in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, we see, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So last week we talked about how sometimes the non-Jewish people were referred to as Gentiles, and other times they were referred to as Greeks, because even though they were in the Roman Empire, Greek was the prominent language that was spoken at that time, and Greece had been the previous world empire, was actually run by the Greeks. And so those who were not Jewish were considered Greeks, even under the Roman rule. But you see here that we should not be ashamed. The Apostle Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greeks. So every single person, even the Jewish people, needed to accept Jesus as their Savior. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is what is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So you should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ either. In verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, or from faith to faith. So we have faith, and we should have faith. If you don't have faith, repent of your sins. Believe that God sent Jesus to the earth to die on the cross for your sins. Confess your sins to him. Believe that God raised him from the dead. Confess your sins to him. Repent of your sins, and God will actually set you free from those sins. In verse 18, we see that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So we have to realize that we don't start out as good people. We don't start out in a position of favor with God. Adam and Eve started out in a position of favor with God. But when they sinned, that all changed, and every human that has been conceived since that time has actually been conceived in sin. As the psalmist in Psalm 51 actually said, David actually said that he was conceived in sin. He had been a sinner from conception. So we know that God's wrath is revealed, and we are children of wrath prior to coming to Christ. So we need to realize that we justly deserve death. We justly deserve hell. But God in his mercy sent Jesus to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. For the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So we've talked quite a bit this last year about people that suppress the truth. They know the truth. They know what's right, but they suppress the truth. We should not be people that suppress the truth. We need to speak forth the truth, proclaim the truth, and call the wicked to repent before God. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God has revealed to each and every one of us, even those who have never read the Bible, who have never heard the gospel, still creation proclaims the gospel. Creation proclaims that there is a God, and God has even written in our hearts his law. He's given us a conscience that convicts us when we have sinned. Even, you know, before I even had read the Bible, I knew I was a sinner, because when I sinned, I felt wrong. And there are people living in other countries that don't have access to the Bible, that when they sin, know that they are wrong. Creation actually proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaims that there is a God, that we are accountable to him, and that we need to live according to his commandments. So we see that this creation actually shows forth the gospel. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So these are people that knew God. They knew that there was a God, but they denied that there was a God. And there are many people today that do the same thing. And maybe some of them do worship animals. Some of them worship symbols of animals. But some people worship themselves. Some people worship money. Some people worship women. Some people worship men. Some people worship fame. And we need to realize that all of this is of the same nature. It's substituting something to worship other than worshiping God. And we see professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. So you see that there is a pattern that happens here. When someone rejects God and rejects the knowledge of God and substitutes something other than God, God actually delivers that person up to further sin and further uncleanness. And this is why we actually see people and cultures even going into further and further depravity. And it is why even today, especially today, we need Jesus Christ. We'll pick this up next week where we left off. But just know that Jesus came because he needed to come, because we are sinners. Every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and every single one of us needs a Savior. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended his life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
7 million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer Treatment Centers of America, a business partner with WCNO, can treat these conditions. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has opened a clinic in Port St. Lucie and gives hope to those who suffer with these diseases. Using a patented artificial intelligence protocol, 75% of patients in the study had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. ATCA's team spent 12 years developing these treatments. They may be reached at 772-298-4477 or at atca.ai.
Sure.